Hello, and welcome to the Administrative and Civil Law Department podcast, Hold My Reg. I'm Major Landon Medley, Associate Professor, and joining me today is Lieutenant Colonel Hayes, the Chair of the Administrative and Civil Law Department. It's that time of year again when your calendar fills up with invitations, gift exchanges, and, well, a heavy dose of federal ethics compliance. The federal ethics rules, though, do not take a holiday break.
That's right, Major Medley. They certainly do not. In fact, they ramp up during the holiday season. Today, we're highlighting some of the federal ethics rules, primarily those found in the Code of Federal Regulations, or 5 CFR 2635. So we'll discuss what ethics rules crop up during the holiday season. These rules, of course, aren't new, and they're not unique to the holidays, but it is when we see ethics officials wrestle with them the most.
And we're going to focus on three areas that cause the most headaches or potential areas of confusion for both military members and federal employees. We will look at gift exchanges, office parties, both internal and external. Let's kick things off with the topic that seems simplest but has some of the most precise constraints: gifts between federal employees, or gifts between individuals. Now, the first area that we're going to cover is these types of gifts. The default rule for federal employees is that a subordinate cannot give or contribute to a gift to a superior. The regulation creates a highly nuanced hierarchy of gift giving based entirely on the power dynamic of this relationship. We don't allow gifts from subordinates to superiors, generally because we don't want to have a subordinate to feel coerced into giving a superior a gift to curry favor or get a good evaluation. And conversely, we don't want superiors to misuse their position to enrich themselves by making subordinates give them gifts. And remember that when we're talking about a gift is anything of monetary value. That could include a tangible object, but also could include something like a free meal or a reception.
However, and of course, when we're talking gifts, there's a lot of howevers, a lot of exceptions. During the holiday season, we often see a gift exception related to the $10 limit on an occasional basis. Can you talk about that, Major Medley?
Yes, ma'am. The $10 gift limit is what most employees remember year to year, but have difficulty correctly implementing it when it comes to the holiday season. Now, remember, the general rule is that you may not accept a gift from a subordinate if you are a superior. However, on an occasional basis, including traditional gift-giving occasions like the holidays, superiors or supervisors may accept individual, non-cash gifts valued at $10 or less from a subordinate.
And so we're talking very specifically here, $10. So very specific math. But the pitfall, I think, that catches a lot of folks at the holidays is the group gift.
Exactly. Now, the guidance explicitly states that group gifts are not permitted for traditional gift-giving occasions, even if the individual contribution would be less than $10. So if 10 employees want to give $2 each to buy the boss a $20 item, that's absolutely prohibited because the regulation views that as a one whole group gift exceeding the $10 maximum. The gift must be non-cash, valued at $10 or less, and given by you alone.
However, more exceptions here. Two exceptions specifically that I think are worth pointing out here, where the $10 limit disappears.
Yes, there's one exception that is the hospitality gift. So when a supervisor or a superior invites a subordinate to a social event at the supervisor's residence or the superior's residence, the subordinate may give a traditional hospitality or hostess gift, like flowers or a bottle of wine. Now, the value of this item may exceed $10, but you should still apply good judgment to avoid any appearance of trying to curry favor. So if your boss is hosting everyone for the holidays, or a senior leader is having an open house, you can bring a hospitality gift in line with the rules. The second exception is much more simpler. Supervisors may accept food and refreshments that are shared amongst the office, or share into the expense of an office party.
Major Medley, this is such a common one. I think we see this so often where senior leaders are hosting holiday parties at their homes. And the question is always from the subordinates, especially if it is the most senior leader on the installation, what can I bring? What should I bring? So thank you for talking about that, because I know how common that is during this time of year. So moving to the reverse dynamic, when a supervisor gives a gift to a subordinate, the dynamics of coercion disappear, and thus the legal constraints change.
That's correct, ma'am. Now, there's no legal limit under the rules for the value of a gift a superior may give to a subordinate. However, The superior must take into account good taste and avoid any appearance of favoritism towards a particular subordinate. And finally, there's no gift limit in the rules related to gifts between peers. So if I want to give a gift to another peer, somebody of the same rank that we work to, no limit there.
So to wrap up, if you're doing a holiday gift exchange, let's say a white elephant or a secret Santa, keep the limit to $10 if you have folks of mixed rank potentially receiving and giving gifts. Now let's bring gifts from outside sources into the picture, particularly contractors, which means we should probably talk here about prohibited sources.
That's right, ma'am. And the gift giver is a critical distinction. Outside sources, which are prohibited sources, are different than the gift rules and the exceptions we just talked about for gifts between employees. Now, a reminder, a prohibited source is anyone who seeks official action from the agency, does business or seeks to do business with the agency, has interests that may be substantially affected by the employee's performance or duties. They have their own restriction and exception rules different. So for our contractor employees, they are typically considered prohibited sources because their employers are currently doing business with the government.
I love that I get to play good cop here and talk about another exception. So one of the common gift exceptions in this scenario that would allow gifts from outside sources to federal employees, particularly at the holiday period, is, and most folks have probably heard this, the 20-50 rule or the $20 or $50 rule. The general limit for unsolicited tangible gifts from prohibited sources is $20 or less per occasion. But you have to maintain a running tally because the total amount of gifts accepted from that specific source, meaning the contractor employee and their employee combined, cannot exceed $50 for the entire calendar year. Accepting a gift that causes you to exceed that $50 annual cap is a violation. So crucially, federal personnel are prohibited from soliciting gifts from contractor employees under any circumstances.
That's right, ma'am. You cannot ask a contractor to give you a gift. That's a solicitation. And even if they do give you a gift, it can never be more than $20 per occasion and $50 per year. So a quick example. If you got a $20 gift in June and another $20 gift in October, when you get to the holiday season, there's only $10 left that contractor can give you as a gift.
Great. Now, we understand if the gift is from an outside source, but what if the gift is from a genuine personal friend who just happens to work for a contractor?
That may qualify under the personal friendship or personal relationship exception. Federal personnel may accept gifts based on a bona fide personal relationship, which is generally limited to family or close personal friendships arising outside of the workplace. Now, a key compliance tripwire here is whether the gift is paid for and reimbursed by the contractor's employer. If the company pays for it, then the exception almost certainly doesn't apply because the source is the company, not the friend, and the gift is really being given by the company, not on the personal relationship.
And finally, if a federal employee wants to give a gift to a contractor colleague, again, I said colleague, not friend here, Major Medley, what happens next?
Well, they should really check with the contractor. Most contractors have their own code of ethics that are very similar to the federal rules that may preclude their personnel from accepting gifts from government employees. So while we want to be as inclusive as possible, it's best to ask first.
Let's shift to the internal office holiday party. So internal office holiday parties are almost always unofficial events. And as a result, let's talk about the ethics that would apply in that situation.
Yes, ma'am. Unofficial events still raise ethical issues on funding, use of government resources, or the voluntary nature of these events. And these ethical issues are all going to be present for your internal holiday office party.
So let's discuss what resources are almost always off limits for these unofficial holiday parties. For example, if you are throwing an unofficial party, unofficial holiday reception, you can't use official money. So no O&M funds. Appropriated funds, money designated by Congress for specific official government functions, can't be used to pay for these parties.
And it's not just the party itself.
No, you can't use appropriated funds to purchase and send holiday greeting cards. Might seem like a really small detail, but it speaks to the strict separation between official government business and, you know, personal or morale-based celebrations.
So if we can't use appropriated funds for our internal office party, then we will have to informally fundraise for the event. Now, you can conduct fundraising within your organization and under the Joint Ethics Regulation as a buy our own, for our own type of fundraising event.
Correct. But how the money is raised still has ethical limitations. The fundamental principle here is voluntariness and avoiding coercion. The most stringent constraint is the supervisor solicitation ban. Supervisors or senior officials must not solicit for contributions. So that's a really big one. Supervisors shouldn't solicit for funds, nor food, nor items to support the event. A supervisor asking for contributions, even for a morale event, is inherently coercive because of the power dynamic at play. Further, any service member or employee who is fundraising must be in an off-duty status.
Now, this fundraising may be permitted, but it's internal. That means it cannot leave your organization, and you can't solicit or ask outside sources for donations or contributions to the internal holiday party. This includes our contractor employees who may sit side by side by us, but are viewed as outside sources when it comes to internal fundraising. Now, if your holiday party is more informal, say a potluck style of celebration, the contractor can still come and bring an in-kind contribution, like a dish that's proportionate in value to what everybody else is bringing. That's not the concern we're looking at here. We were concerned about asking those outside sources for a monetary donation. Now that we know the funding limits, what other ethical concerns does the internal office party raise?
Yeah, here's where I want to circle back to the use of resources. So similar to the restriction on the use of appropriated funds, you can't use official resources for the unofficial holiday party. Simple things like using the office printer for invitations or sending the RSVP through the internal government email may be okay if it is a de minimis use. Sending a limited, not mass solicitation email to your immediate office colleagues is likely fine. Using the government printer, however, for hundreds of complex, high-color cards or using significant amounts of specialized government supplies to decorate, likely not okay. The other use of resources concern that we see a lot of is regarding transportation, specifically non-tactical vehicles. These are unofficial events, again, and you really shouldn't use a government vehicle to go to or from a social event. So if you have questions about this, seek out your ethics officials and ask. There may be exceptions to that rule, but typically you're not going to be able to use your non-tactical vehicles to support an unofficial event like a holiday party.
And one final wrinkle about our guests who are coming to this party, let's talk about our contractors who can attend, especially if it cuts into their duty day.
Since the event is unofficial, contractors may not charge the government for employee time to attend. So if the party is held during duty hours, the contractor has to choose. They either allow their employees to attend and classify that time as non-billable, or they direct them to continue working. You should consult with your contracting officer before inviting contractor employees to a function during the duty hours to ensure that the contractor is aware of the non-billable nature of that time.
Now the party is set, our guest list is finalized, and they start to arrive, but the ethical risks don't stop there. Another classic holiday bundle we see is raffles.
Raffles. Gambling. I think most ethics officials have dealt with this before. It's very common, especially for our family readiness groups. Federal regulations strictly prohibit gambling on federal property. That includes raffles and drawings where individuals purchase a chance to win something. However, this is distinguished from door prizes, which are permitted because everyone attending is automatically entered to win, even if there was a charge to attend the event. So if you're planning a raffle, know there are special rules to consider to determine whether it meets the definition of gambling. The best practice is to make the event open to everyone attending and to not charge for tickets. Definitely seek out your ethics official to get advice on any events where there's any sort of raffle, door prize, anything that might be akin to gambling. One other thing to note is even if the event is off the federal installation, check the state laws, because many states have very specific laws and licensing for anything akin to gambling.
Now, the last segment is probably the most difficult. Parties outside of the office hosted by non-federal entities. which often means a contractor or prohibited source is hosting the event. There is no special holiday party exception to the ethics rules for free attendance at these events, and the standard ethics rules that govern gifts of free attendance will still apply. The general rule is that federal personnel may not accept gifts from prohibited sources, which could include free attendance at one of these parties, and that includes from our contractors.
And a popular exception that many attempt to use is the widely attended gathering, or the WAG. And I say attempt because it is pretty nuanced. Landon, can you tell us a little more about WAGs and when can we use a WAG exception?
Absolutely, ma'am. Now, as most people have heard of WAGs before, it is a very sought-after exception, but a highly structured exception. And it takes some prerequisites before you can actually go and attend under the WAG exception. To accept free attendance, including any meals, under the WAG exception, there are two crucial conditions that must be met. First, the employee supervisor must determine that the attendance is in the agency's interest. That is, your boss has to determine it's in the agency's interest for you to go to this holiday party. Second, the ethics official must also determine that the event qualifies as a WAG, meaning it draws on a large number of different people, represents a diversity of views, there's an opportunity to exchange ideas. Very nuanced and technical rules that involve two outside personnel to make a determination before you can attend the party.
And timing here is very, very important. The timing of that review, so important. Both determinations must be made in writing in advance of the event. If the paperwork isn't done ahead of time, if that ethics official hasn't said or determined that this is a WAG in advance, you can't attend for free. And remember, if you get a gift at the holiday party, that's a separate analysis outside of the WAG analysis.
Now, not every event hosted by a contractor is going to necessarily be a WAG. What about our more casual events, just like a contractor open house that offers light snacks?
Light snacks, here's another very, very common exception that we see, and that is the modest refreshments exclusion. Federal personnel can accept modest refreshments, and that includes soft drinks, coffee, pastries, similar light snacks, but that don't include a meal. And so that's a really important distinguishing factor there. Light snacks that are not served as part of a meal, that can qualify for the modest refreshments exclusion.
But there's also a major policy distinction here, often forgotten when we hear the light snack exclusion, particularly around the holiday time. And that is, alcohol does not qualify as a modest refreshment, specifically in the rule that non-alcoholic only applies. If the party serves wine or beer, the modest refreshment exclusion is immediately voided.
All right. So what if the event, like a dinner, costs $40 per person and no exception applies? Can the employee pay $20 to cover the difference and then accept the remaining $20 gift under the rule that we talked about earlier, the 2050 rule?
No, ma'am. There's a critical mathematical distinction here. And that is, you can't buy down your gift, right? If the cost per guest exceeds the $20 limit, then the federal employee must pay the full person cost to the event in order to attend. You have to pay the fully assessed market value of your attendance to eliminate even the perception of receiving an impermissible subsidy from a prohibited source. So anything over $20, you have to pay the full cost, not just the difference.
All right, let's talk about another exception that we see a lot during the holidays. And that is the spouse's outside employment exception.
And this is more straightforward, right? Federal personnel may accept the gift of free attendance at an event if the invitation is based on the spouse's outside business or employment relationship, not on the federal position. So for example, if your spouse works for ABC Corporation, you may accompany them as a guest to the ABC Corporation's holiday party because the invitation is targeted at the non-federal spouse, not at you because of your federal position. Now, this discussion has shown us that during the holiday season, the ethical rules aren't new, but they get exercised and practiced a lot more. And it is important not only to understand what those rules are, but understand how to find your ethics official and consult with them early in advance.
Thank you. And I think there's a really important takeaway here. As we look at these very nuanced rules, one of the biggest takeaways that we really have here, when we look at the idea that a glass of wine might, for example, void the modest refreshment exclusion, or some of the other very low thresholds, like a $10 exception, what that tells us is that these rules really are designed to prioritize the perception of neutrality and independence above all else. And I think that's really, really important to know.
And as always, we hope you have found this material helpful and insightful, but this guidance is just a highlight of common issues that doesn't necessarily cover every situation. So for your particular situation, if you're planning a holiday party, if you're thinking about participating in a gift exchange, seek out your ethics official for more clear guidance and understanding. I'm Major Medley, joined by Colonel Hayes. Thank you so much for listening, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
This episode of Hold My Reg is brought to you by the Administrative and Civil Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. The views presented in this episode are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent the views of the Department of War or its components, the Department of the Army, or the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and stay tuned for another episode of Hold My Reg.